Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby. Spadoni's out today. Spadoni's out, so we won't have our Laker brethren here. Probably needs a day off after that loss the other night. But we got Lubman, and we got another rarity guy in here. Steven Rizzotto. Hey, Steven's ready to do a four-hour baseball show. I know that, Shaska. As we say good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? If you're getting ready for work, what is happening? Big week for the Bay Area. Bucks-Niners on Sunday. Bucks-Niners and McCaffrey will be back on the playing field. He will be taking snaps. Not sure about Jordan Mason, but McCaffrey's back. But we also have a big one in Cleveland as a 9-0 Cleveland Cavaliers host the Dakota State Warriors, who are 7-1. I want to break all that down, man. A lot of fun playing today on the show. What up, Shasky?
Good morning. Beautiful Friday. I'm super pumped up. What a great sports week we've had. And it's going to be a good weekend. You know, can the Jets help us out a little? Can they knock off the Cards? Can't believe I didn't have that in my Rolodex to start the season.
Yeah, I didn't have that in your Rolodex to start the show. Jets, Cardinals in the desert. I'm not holding my breath. I'm not. Miami Dolphins visiting the Rams on Monday Night Football. I'm not holding my breath with the Dolphins. I'm really not. But the Niners just need to take care of their own business. They take care of their own business, they'll be able to do what they need to do to get into the playoffs and win the division. And that's just by winning games. And it starts on Sunday against Tampa Bay, who's going to be shorthanded. McMillan, one of their rookie receivers out of Washington, he's a speedster. He hasn't practiced all week with a hamstring injury. Hasn't practiced all week. Sterling Shepard hasn't practiced all week. He'll probably play, but he's banged up. So the Buccaneers come in banged up. There's no excuses. We'll talk to Dan Moore, former Bucs tight end, current radio color analyst for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Baker's having a great season. We'll get into their defense. Why are they giving up so many points? Why are they giving up so many explosives? So many run plays, run pass plays, you name it. Tampa Bay's defense has not been good the last few weeks, so we'll talk to Dan Moore at 7:20 about that. We got Sam Gordon from the San Francisco Chronicle at 6:50 to talk some Dubs here in the River Islands guest line. And that's been a big talking point, man. Is this sustainable? Is what we're seeing sustainable? We just cannot believe what is happening right now with the Golden State Warriors. They're 5-0 on the road. They've won 22 of their last 26 on the road. We also have second shameless shout-outs as well. It's 60 seconds of celebrating. We've got a lot going on today on a Friday. But Dubs, Niners, or do you want to start with last night? Jamar Chase going crazy with 264 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns. It's all won by teams. Feels good. Well, but they come up short.
I've watched all these other teams now for a couple weeks because the Niners have been on a bye, and there seems to be a consistent theme. Situational football late in games. right? And I saw last night, Lamar Jackson statistically had the best fourth quarter of his regular season career, which is quite a sentence because you're already looking at a two-time MVP currently. And for him to throw for 197 yards and three touchdowns in the fourth quarter alone and have a perfect passer rating, it's pretty special. And then late in the game...
He's won 6-7 against Burrow, Lamar Jackson.
It's unbelievable. And you have defensive players basically saying, yeah, we're their sons. Like, for the Cincinnati Bengals, acknowledging that Baltimore owns them.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. Like, I'm watching that game, and I guess Monday night, Tampa Bay not going for two. You have Zach Taylor last night doing the reverse and going for two in that situation. I loved it, and I felt like Cincinnati couldn't get a stop because he was playing the feel of his own defense and realizing that, like, we kind of got to go for this right here. And so I go back to fourth quarter execution, late situational football. And if I look at some of the bugaboos of the Niners this year, red zone is kind of situational football, right? Fourth quarter, there's been some things that have happened. And so I think there's a lot to take away, and CMC coming back is going to be a galvanizing force for them in the red area.
Was it surprising that they went for two? And I'll tell you why it wasn't surprising. Cincinnati showed you on the first possession of the football game, they went for it on fourth down, inside the 3-yard line, fourth and goal. They went for it four times. So there is no doubt in my brain, when they had the ball and they were looking to go tie it, they were going for two on the road. As you mentioned, their defense couldn't get a stop. But they set that tone in the first drive of the game. They were going for it. They were going for it over and over. Because why? You're a 4-5 football team, desperate to get back in the AFC North race. You had a shot Thursday Night Football. You don't have T. Higgins. You just let the kitchen sink out. You're playing the Ravens in Baltimore, so you the hell with it. Zach Taylor set that tone. The first possession of the game, I'm going for it. And this is going to be the theme of the game. And they bought in. Burrow was spectacular. 428 passing yards, four touchdowns. Jamar Chase, 11 catches, 264. The run after catches, the deep shots. I mean, the catch, the third touchdown catch where he keeps both feet in. High points the football over two Raven defenders and just kind of just subtly. I mean, Jamar Chase is. Cincinnati don't want to pay him?
I'm 100% with you.
Whoa.
There are certain small guys, because I don't consider him a big dude, even though he's thick.
Yeah.
He's built like a running back, but he's so much more fluid than a Debo, right?
He's unbelievable.
But his high pointing, like Justin Jefferson's not huge. I'm talking like 6'4", right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not a huge guy. Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase, there is a wave of smaller wide receivers that are dynamic in the air, apex catchers, and he's one of them. Speed, power, hands, agility,
everything, shakes.
What's the hole in Jamar Chase's game?
He has no hole. He has great hands. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He can go inside. He always gets up and like just pumps his muscles, like just flexes because he's so damn strong. And you want to talk about a guy. Look, I would advise it, but he said to hell with it. I'm going to play. I wanted my new money. They didn't give me my new money. And now he's balling out of control of being the number one wide receiver in all of football right now. And now he's going to have to get broken off. So he did the opposite of what a lot of wide receivers do. And both those guys in Cincinnati did what they had to do because Mike Brown is so frugal and didn't budge on paying these players. So Jamar Chase bet on himself. 11 catches, 264 on the season so far. Jamar Chase, 981 receiving yards, 66 catches, 10 touchdowns. He's averaging 15 yards a catch.
Incredible. Now, if you pivot over to Baltimore, I'm watching them and I'm saying it's obviously very different in how it looks. But in terms of the offense carrying the defense, that might be the recipe the Niners have to follow for the next couple of weeks. Now, situationally, obviously Baltimore came up with some big stops that final breakup, whether it was a PI, whether it was a late hit on Burrow and a face mask.
Gesicki. Yeah, that was old. They missed that one, though.
Well, again, it was a very physical game. It's a division matchup. I'm sure if I was a Bengal fan, I'd be whining
I'd be
and crying
off.
This morning.
I'd be ticked off.
Yeah, I would be pissed off. But I'm watching that Ravens team, and I'm saying, like, their offense is clearly carrying their defense right now, and Kyle Hamilton gets hurt in that game. But I look at the Niners, and all their numbers are telling me that the Niners are a good offense. And defense, they're kind of middle of the pack. Not that they're bottom dwellers, because Baltimore right now is 27th in overall defense. But the Niners are kind of bottom of the pack. And so I think that the offense is going to have to just be more efficient and score touchdowns in the zone, baby. And I look at CMC returning, and I don't know what his carry is going to be. I don't know what his workload is going to be. But I think it's imperative that they get back to being the efficient red zone team that they were the last couple of years.
Well, that's the key. I mean, that's the big difference in the team right now is red zone touchdowns. Opposed to last year. Last year, they were top three in most metrics, man. They were really just a historic offense, to be honest with you. You know, with the four guys with over 1,000 scrimmage yards, you have McCaffrey with over 20-plus touchdowns, breaking the franchise record. Their red zone efficiency was tops in the league. That has been the big difference. There's no doubt about that. And in terms of middle of the pack defense, look, if you get an offense that's putting pressure, and I think in today's NFL, I really think we need to think about it like this. You know, yes, defense, you need timely stops. You need to keep teams out of the end zone. That's if you give up three, fine, but if you can't give up six over and over and over again. But with this defense, and we don't know if Charvarius Ward is going to play this Sunday. He's away from the football team, and if he doesn't play, who could blame him after what's going on with his family, Monique and Charvarius Ward? He may not be ready to go, so you may have to Renardo Green and Isaac Yeldon. They're going to have to play a lot more snaps, you know, alongside D'Amador and Lenore. This pass rush hasn't been the best. Now, we'll see what happens with Yannick Ngakoue, who's on waivers right now with the Baltimore Ravens. But this offense, like, kind of sort of like last season, yes, your offense is your best defense. Kind of like sometimes those Golden State Warrior teams where it's like you're pressing even though you're up 10 because you say, damn, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, damn. If we miss a couple shots here, they're about to go on a three-point barrage and blow us out of the gym. And that's what happened most times. Well, the 49ers offense with Deebo and Juwan Jennings coming back and Chris McCaffrey coming back. You have George Kittle there. And you got to get Ricky Pierce all up to speed alongside Jacob Cowing. Yes, it's up to Shanahan and Brock Purdy to help carry this offense and carry this football team. Your best defense may be a better offense. Score touchdowns here and try to get 30 on the board week in and week out.
And I'm looking at Ricky Pearsall, and it's a lot of pressure for a guy that's played a couple of games in the NFL. But with Ayuk's absence, I think the guy's got to be a 4 to 6 catch a game guy. And we're not asking him to, you know, get targeted 12 times. That's just not how the offense is. But I need him to be a solid role player for this team. And I think George Kittle needs to lead the way. To me, I'm looking at George Kittle.
And he has.
And no doubt. But like, this is a team right now, Tampa Bay, that's toward the bottom in all the passing metrics. They've been in a lot of
defense.
Pass defense. Yep. I'm talking pass defense. They've been in a lot of shootouts. And they give up a ton of yards right now. The Niners, conversely, offensively, they've put up the second most yards in the league in yards per game. And so that surprised me. When I'm looking at some of the advanced stuff, it's like, it's the turnovers that have crushed them and the inefficiency in the red zone.
Well, they're 28th in the red zone when it comes to efficiency, 48.5% in the red zone, the 49ers, 28th in the league. The only teams worse, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Dallas, and the Giants.
Oh, jeez.
You don't want to be in a conversation with the Giants. You don't want to be in a conversation with the Dallas Cowboys. In Pittsburgh, they're starting to get healthier. They're starting to get better. Now, conversely, Tampa Bay has been a lot better than red zone, but this is with Godwin and with Mike Evans. They're third in the league in red zone efficiency. When they get inside the red area, they make it count with Baker Mayfield and company. So the last three games have the Niners trended up. They've been better the last three games. They've been better in the last three games of 49ers. Middle of the pack, their red zone efficiency, 61%. So they started off horrible. They are trending up in the red zone, and now you add in Christian McCaffrey. And I think it's simple, folks. 888-957-9570. Is that the missing ingredient for the 49ers going to run here? Is it just Christian McCaffrey? Is he the missing ingredient for this football team? Is he the reason why they're 4-4? Is he the reason why they could go on a run in the second half of the season? Niner fans, where you at? 888-957-9570. Because he is Brock Purdy's best friend in that backfield. And he is his safety valve. And there's trust issues there when Chris McCaffrey isn't on that football field. And now you get him back on the football field. And maybe Brock Purdy settles down a bit and becomes the guy we saw last year. And he's had a good year. Hasn't been the season he had a season ago. But he's had a decent year. He's had a year in which I believe this quarterback can be the quarterback for the next 3 years. But when you bring back Christian McCaffrey, and if he can stay healthy, I just want to know, is that the missing ingredient? Is that it? Is that the cure to the 49ers' issues here? Plug in number 23, and boom. You're going to be one of the top teams in the NFC again? Is it that simple?
Well, it's crazy because the big play, like scoring a touchdown, has this big momentum. Like when you get into the red zone and you punch one in as opposed to kicking a field goal, I can feel the deflation in the stadium at times. You know the feeling. You've been there. Like, come on, guys. We got to get six here. And it's as simple as like, one extra touchdown. The guy averages a touchdown a game plus Christian McCaffrey. Like, he is as prolific of a touchdown scorer as they come in the history of the game since the second he got to the Niners. Like, that's how dynamic he was. He was breaking Jerry Rice records, which is a sentence we do not say lightly.
Nope.
in this market. So, yeah, I do think it's a big difference. Now, is that the end all be all? No. Like, their defense has got to, they've got to play better situational football. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be tough if Charvarius Ward doesn't play. It's going to be tough if they don't get Dre Greenlaw back at, you know, close to what he was the last couple of years. You're going to need more from that defensive line. You're going to need more from Nick Bosa. But I do think it helps a lot. And I think it helps Kyle Shanahan a lot because that's his favorite guy to call plays for.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Jordan Mason, we'll see about the, we'll see about him and his status for Sunday against Tampa Bay. You still have Isaac Garrido, who's played very good football. He's starting to come on here as a rookie. But look, the secondary here with Charvarius Ward maybe not playing. I think they have to brace for Charvarius Ward not playing and what that looks like here defensively. But I'm looking at the text line here, Comcast Business Text Line, 707 to say CMC is the reason. Just like he was the difference maker when he was traded, if healthy. He is the difference maker. Now, could it just be, hey, he's going to help the offense? Does he help the defense? Because we're still waiting on number 50. We're still waiting on number 53, Dre Greenlaw, and where he's at. And we don't know where he's at right now. He's week to week with the Achilles tendonitis. I don't know what to expect from him. I don't know what to expect from CMC. I honestly have no clue how they're going to play this with Christian McCaffrey. Will he get 20 touches? Will he get 15 touches? Will he only play on third down? Will you take him out of the red zone? Will you play him in the red zone on the goal line? How the hell do you navigate with this injury here? I'm not going to lie. When he cuts, it's going to be like when Klay Thompson first returned with the Golden State Warriors. Remember when Klay Thompson came back and he was jumping up and down? We're like, oh, don't land wrong. Oh. Well, whenever Christian McCaffrey cuts and he jump cuts or he... I'm going to be like a worried father.
When Crabtree came back from his Achilles, I winced almost the entire time. What did he come back, like the 13th or 14th week in the season?
Yeah, he came out late in the season.
And I just didn't have that same, like, not that he was ever like a burst guy.
He wasn't right.
No, he wasn't. It was until he went to the Raiders, really, that he got his legs back underneath him. There's no doubt that, like, we're all going to be wincing. And I guess the big test for me is not necessarily just Sunday. Does he feel like Wednesday?
Well, also, you know.
Does he feel like Thursday? Yeah, you know, like later on in the week.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I was going to bring up real quick before the first segment was over. Malik Mustafa's status is uncertain. He suffered a calf injury during practice.
Our calf. What is going on with our calves here in the Bay Area? Bonte's calf's hurt. I mean, CMC's got bilateral, Achilles tendonitis. Dre Greenlaw. Like, what's going on with the calves?
I don't know what's going on with the calves, but Malik Mustafa, which is why you bring Tashaun Gibson back, he may have to play on Sunday. He may have to play.
This is unbelievable. Oh, my goodness.
You know, and this is one of those games, I think, in terms of how they look, will tell us a lot about the second half of the season.
So I, on the other side, am going to explain to you why I believe the first half specifically is going to let me know how locked in this team is for the remainder of the year.
Well, I think I'm going to need the entire game because in today's football, we see a lot of clunky first halves, and we have the old witching hour. We have the old witching hour where games are going to be won late. I just need to see a clean game. Can they put together four quarters? They've yet to put together four quarters all season. I think we're going to find out on Sunday here with the 49ers and Bucks. We got Sam Gordon at 6:50 to talk some Warriors here. Warriors and Cavaliers. Big game in Cleveland. Tampa Bay San Francisco, 49ers in Tampa on Sunday. Huge game for the Niners. They got to continue to roll here. So 888-957-9570 is the number. It is a payday Friday / 50 Cent Friday. Well, maybe loving to go 50 Cent. Who knows what's going on in his head when it comes to music. Maybe it's some Uncle Luke. Maybe it's some Trick Daddy. I don't know. Maybe he's feeling like a South Beach Miami right now. South Beach. There it is. All right. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? What's coming up on The Game? Brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. McCaffrey coming back? Is that curing all the problems for the 49ers? Want to hear from you on the other side here on the...
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rust.
Dub Nation is Buddy Hill. Listen to the morning roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those breaks, Bonte.
0-1, buddy. 0-1. 0-1. Not like you. Starting 3-3 and 3-5 and dropping 8 points in the first quarter. Buddy Hill, the Warriors hit the court today against Cleveland. Tip off at 4:30. Pregame right here on 95.7 The Game starting at... Warriors Live at 3:30, and then, of course, NBC Sports Bay Area. We'll have our pregame show. Cavaliers 9-0. Warriors 7-1. Warriors have won all five of their road games. And we're just kind of thinking about this last night when it came to the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll play the Brian Wayhorse out because I want to know how Warrior fans feel right now about this roster. Is it a finished product? Do you think they can improve? Do you still want moves to be made? But I'll start with this. There's no rivalry with the Cavaliers anymore, right, Shasky? That rivalry's dead.
No, not really. Like, no? I don't harbor any ill will toward Cleveland. I think the majority of it was directed solely at LeBron James.
Yeah.
And then, to a lesser degree, Kyrie Irving. And not for anything
like... Tristan Thompson?
I just thought Tristan Thompson was just a solid bench player. Like, I had no problem with him. Like, he had his own things with Draymond and... I was neutral, impartial to whatever was going on there. Like, it just didn't matter to me one way or the other. Found it funny more than anything. Kendrick. But LeBron. And I think it was the Halloween party in particular that really twisted the knife for me.
Not the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt that he came off to play with.
Well, it was the full gamut. But I'm saying the Halloween party
yeah, with the
to
cookies.
Me went like personal.
Yeah, no, it was personal.
I always felt like... On behalf of a Steph Curry fan, like me, I'm a Steph Curry fan, so on behalf of his honor, I always felt like LeBron, Carmelo, CP3, those guys in particular had this thing against Curry, and it pissed me off for the longest time. We're like, we're here, you're there, you're not one of us, you came up the NBA dad route. We came up the hard way, and I've always felt that there was this tinge of, like, you were born on third base, and it's like... really, like, and eventually they got over it, but like that's the feeling I always got from them, and that's just my gut interpretation of the dynamic between those guys and Steph. Steph was lesser than.
You know what it was for me? It was not so much that. It was what he did win MVP, and then he won unanimous MVP. And when he won his first MVP, he had James Harden speak it out, saying, well, what is the MVP? I thought I was the MVP. And the players had gave James Harden the MVP as opposed to the media giving Steph Curry that first MVP. Remember that? They went to the players' award, James Harden. Well, you know, the players think I'm the MVP. And then later on, he started questioning the definition of the MVP. And then all of a sudden, Stephen Curry wins unanimous MVP, becoming the first NBA player in history to win the unanimous MVP award. And then you had LeBron James questioning, well, what is MVP? The MVP, the definition in my mind, is different than what it is in your mind. And all of a sudden, we started questioning what the MVP award was and what it meant. And I was like, oh, okay. I get it now. Now we're jealous of the little light-skinned brother bobbing threes left and right and taking your souls in the third quarter of every single basketball game. That's what it is? Okay. And so that, to me, was started ticking me off. We started questioning. He had Dave McMiniman from ESPN. What did he say? What did he call Curry? A collaborative? What did he call him?
A collaborative talent.
Yeah, there you go. And forget the term he used. I was just like, wait, what? And I've run into Dave. I remember after one of the finals games, we're all at the bar, Logan Murdoch, Sam Amick, Dave McMiniman was there. And he was like, come on, man, the Steph Curry thing. And it was almost like it was personal for people. It was personal. And I was thinking to myself, damn. At the time when the Warriors started winning championships, it was almost like there's this pecking order of who's supposed to win what. Like Chris Paul's next in line to win a championship, or James Harden's next in line to win a championship, Kevin Durant's next in line to win a championship. And Steph Curry, the Warriors kind of ruined the plans for a lot of those guys. And he ruined legacies. And then all of a sudden we started questioning all these MVP awards. It was really, really quite interesting.
Well, so there's like, in the NBA, I do believe there's this Jordan effect where you have to win the regular season MVP, you have to win the championship, you have to win the finals. Anything short of that, and we're going to nitpick you. And that seems ridiculous. Like, if we just take a step back, it's ridiculous. And then I look at a player like Kobe Bryant, and for the longest time, it was always, well, actually, he plays with Shaq. Well, actually, he inherited a great situation. Well, you know, and I look back at Kobe's career, and it does feel odd. He only has one MVP.
Right.
Right? But if you go into each individual season, I can remember why we pick certain players, right? And then I look at LeBron and his MVPs, and this is just my personal belief. I felt like Derrick Rose had a great year in between the two MVPs. He had two, LeBron did, then Derrick Rose got one, and then two more for LeBron. It just felt like to me we were dying for someone else to step up just to be different.
Well, you bring
as
up
a media, I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, you bring up Kobe's MVP award, and I thought the year Kobe won it, Chris Paul should have won it because of what he did with the Hornets.
Now, it's hard.
Nash had won it one year where I thought Shaq should have won it. And you look at Shaquille O'Neal, who's one of the most dominant players we've ever seen. He only has one MVP award. You know what I mean? So Tim Duncan's got a few MVPs, and I get it. Tim Duncan deserved it. But Kobe's won, and Kobe did deserve an MVP at some point. But the year he received it, I was like, wait a minute, Chris Paul led the Hornets to a second-round berth, a Game 7 against San Antonio. Without Chris Paul, they're nothing. How about this one? Jason Kidd, the New Jersey Nets. I thought he had deserved an MVP.
He took a Kerry Kittles to led team with Keith Van Horn to the finals.
He went to two NBA finals.
That team had no business competing.
And he didn't get the MVP award. They gave it to Duncan and everything. Yeah. So I was just, you know, it's... Sometimes it's just because, as Ramona Shelburne says, you know, you got to have a narrative. No, you don't. You have to be a baller. Well, that's what it should be.
I just think that basketball is a reflection of society to a degree in terms of how these things break down. I see this all the time in youth sports. Like, everybody is so obsessed with winning tournaments on the weekend, these championships, these rings, these belts that are really kind of meaningless,
right?
You know, and we've lost the art of, you know, being a great teammate and do all those things. So like Kobe Bryant is a great example. Do you really think Kobe went into every single season hell bent on getting the MVP, or winning the championship.
He wanted to win the championship.
His team. He wanted his team. I personally believe that Kobe went into it trying to cultivate the best team that he possibly could because he was all about winning championships.
Well, he also wanted to be the best player in the league.
No doubt. That was
coming with that. Yeah, he wanted to be the most dominant, the best player in the league while winning championships.
But I also believe that he was refined enough at times in his career. He was stubborn, but refined enough to realize if I sacrifice a little here, the overall team will get theirs.
Yeah.
Watching James Harden, I felt that he has wanted to win his way on his terms every single step of the way.
No doubt.
And he will get all the accolades, and if they fall short, it's because his teammates fell short.
Right.
And so I think that's where I cut this off. So getting back to Curry, okay?
Well, even Westbrook
Curry is wired more like Kobe than he is James Harden.
No doubt.
It's about the team accomplishments, the team accolades, how can we be the best version of ourselves? And I just...
We did see a sympathy MVP award to Russell Westbrook when the Thunder were the sixth seed.
But he had a great year.
He had a great year, but it was,
No, but I'm with you on that. But that's where I believe that the voting, and then this gets back to the LeBron thing.
Because I feel sorry for
exactly.
him.
Oh. Narrative. Bonte, when LeBron went back to Cleveland, by that point in time, I felt like the entire media was bought and paid for in LeBron's pocket. And I felt like Dave McMenamin, Brian Windhorst, and the whole brigade of LeBronites were constantly dissing Steph Curry. That was my interpretation of watching the media when I wasn't in the media from afar. And I felt like that entire time they slighted him, they diluted the Warriors' excellence, and all of the coverage was slanted toward the king. And it rubbed me wrong, and it actually made the rivalry between Warrior fans and LeBron, I believe, 10 times higher.
Yep, no doubt. By the way, the Cleveland Cavaliers, is this the most out of left field rivalry in Bay Area sports history? So when I was growing up, the Niners had the Cowboys, right? And then Mike Holmgren and the Green Bay Packers walk into Candlestick Park in 95 and destroy them. And all of a sudden, it became a rivalry, but a one-sided rivalry. But I never expected me to hate the Green Bay Packers. They're like this lovable fan base. We're all nice and wore their cheese heads. And it became one of the more historical rivalries in NFL history in the last 30 years. Green Bay and the 49ers, kind of out of left field, right? Out of left field. Niners-Chiefs, kind of out of left field. Even though the Chiefs don't consider us rivals, we consider them rivals. Kind of out of left field.
Yeah, I never thought I'd have this disdain for Kansas City.
Did you think you had disdain for Philadelphia?
No. I didn't really. The Philadelphia Phillies, though, going back to 2010, I did hate a lot of the stuff. And there was a lot of other things baked in. I hated Chase Utley.
Right.
I don't know if you did.
Simmering rivalry for a second.
That's
Giants
what I'm saying.
Phillies. I thought that was going to be something. Well, it kind of fell apart. Buster got injured in 2011, and then the Phillies rotation kind of fell apart in 2012, and the rivalry never really materialized from there. But for a brief moment after that 2010 NLCS, it's like, wow, these two teams, they could be going at it.
Well, they could, but then the Giants went to Citizens Bank Park and won 2-3 in Philadelphia, and there was something there, but it was very short-lived.
No doubt it was short-lived.
I don't even think it lasted a year, but I actually love Chase Utley.
No, I liked him too.
I love Chase Utley.
When he
Utley.
Got hit and then picked up the ball and threw it back to the mound, I mean, it was like, we were simmering. That was the height of baseball in this town.
Chase Utley was a 3-5 tool player.
Oh, he was awesome.
Played his ass off. I was a big, big Chase Utley fan, unfortunately. But that rivalry, it wasn't long.
It was very short-lived.
Yeah, very short. But the Cavaliers and the Warriors, and sparked with LeBron James, of course, and the whole, LeBron James at a Halloween party and a t-shirt. That became one of the more out of left field Bay Area rivals, and I never thought we'd hate Cleveland.
It's true.
Bay Area hating Cleveland. what? Anyway, Sam Gordon's going to join us for the San Francisco Chronicle on the other side. He's live in Cleveland. Get ready for this monster matchup between the Warriors and the Cavaliers. Cavaliers are 9-0. Warriors are 7-1. Let's dive into this game tonight against Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. The hell with Fidoni and the Lakers.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Well, most of the time.
No, they really do hate us in Philadelphia. I found out at Dumas' wedding, a lot of his buddies were like, you're that guy. A lot of people were listening live when I told Joe the camera, we're sitting in section, whatever it was in Philadelphia. They knew. They knew who we were, Sasky. We're household names in the 215. Fortunately or unfortunately. But you know what? It's all love in Philadelphia. They have great food. They just have a sucky fan base when it comes to Philadelphia Eagles. And by the way, this segment is sponsored by the Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. The Cleveland Cavaliers. You know what? We'll get into it with Sam Gordon in just a second. Let's get Miles and Fort Mason on. He wants to talk about the rivalry between the Warriors and the Cavaliers. But the Cavaliers play some really good ball. But I feel good about this game. I feel really good about this game for the Golden State Warriors. Let's go to Miles in Fort Mason. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just want to reflect on the Warriors and Cavs chapter in NBA history. I mean, what was it, 4 years in a row, 5 years in a row that they met in the finals every year? It's almost like now that would be unheard of. But, and of course, 2015, the first title, 2016, Father's Day, I refer to it as the quietest day in San Francisco history. When they lost, I came out of a bar, Richmond Republic on Clement Street, and you could hear a pin drop, that just reaction. And, you know, the rivalry is enhanced by the Halloween party and the criticisms of Steph's MVP. I don't fault those guys. What, they put Steph's tombstone on a cookie or something?
Yeah.
Give me a break. You know, but it's just so funny because now in the current day and age, it's almost forgotten about in a way just because it was so long ago. But that was such a big chapter and so legacy defining for Steph, LeBron, hate to say it, but Kyrie with that last minute shot. So, what a time. And, you know, I think Cavs 9-0 now, prime for a loss. But I will say, shout out to their rookie, Jalen Tyson, the Cal product, and who, you know, as a Bears fan, can't help but support him. So, let's go, Dubs. Let's get this win.
Good call. Good call. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think that LeBron James's two titles in Miami were awesome for him, but his point about legacy, I actually think was enhanced going up against the Warriors. And, I mean, what did he average, like 40, 10, and 10?
Yeah, it was something ridiculous. Something ridiculous.
So, yeah, I think that I personally respect him more for the battles against the Warriors. And I do believe that even in losing, he enhanced his own legacy against the Warriors. Obviously, beating them was, you know, the high watermark for him. But, yeah, their legacies were completely enhanced going up against each other.
Yeah, it still ticks me off the 3-1. Anyway, let's get to Sam Gordon from the San Francisco Chronicle Warriors beat writer. Minnesota's old. Hey, we're bringing in Sam Gordon here on the River Islands Guest Line, and all guests on 95.7 Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Let's start here. Yesterday, we were discussing Minnesota. We wanted to know if they had some hoods, and somebody called in and said, South Mini is somewhere you don't want to go to. So you're from the Twin Cities, Sam, and good morning to you. South Mini, is that a place we don't want to step foot into, South Mini?
I think you'd be all right in South. I think you'd be all right in South Minneapolis for sure. But you know, as long as you handle your business and go there to do what you need to do. Minneapolis is great. A lot of beautiful, scenery. It's obviously very, very cold in the winter, but very welcoming. North side, south side, you know, northeast, southwest, all over the city is welcoming. So we'd be happy to have you at any time.
Yeah, I need to get up there. I heard it's a great city. Cleveland is underrated as well. I know you're in Cleveland right now to cover the Warriors and the Cavaliers. And so far, so good on this road trip for the Warriors, as they make their fourth start of this 5-game road trip. And, of course, the back end of this trip was the one we all anticipated, Boston, Cleveland, and OKC. Now, coming off that Boston win, a very solid win, a statement game, sort of saying, I know Jaylen Brown didn't play, but it's about the Warriors, the way the Warriors are playing. So far, Sam, what has surprised you the most about this 7-1 start for the Warriors?
I think how well the depth and how well you know, Steve Kerr is going deep into that rotation, and everybody's bought in. You got buy-in from top to bottom. I mean, 12, 13 deep when everybody's available. And that's hard, right? That's really, really hard to get, you know, a 12-person rotation. You don't see that at the NBA level. You hardly see it at the high school level. So the fact that everybody is bought in like this, not necessarily a surprise because we understand the track record here in Golden State, but the fact that it continues to work, it continues to be successful, it doesn't really matter who's been closing, right? We've seen different closing lineups in different situations. Of course, the Warriors only have really played, you know, I guess two or three games where there's really needed to be a close. But that being said, we've seen different closing lineups. We've seen the minutes distributed differently throughout the course of the year, and it hasn't mattered. Whoever's played has played well. The ball is moving, is popping around with every single lineup, and every lineup is defending. And that's what this team was constructed to do, right? Defend at a high level, and so far the Warriors are doing exactly that. The defense is leading the offense. The depth ensures that everybody is fresh and that the Warriors have juice at the end of these games. And when you're playing so many people and other teams aren't as deep, there's a cumulative effect. And I think we've seen that, you know, late in some of these games that have been close. The Warriors are, you know, a little fresher in overtime against Houston, and it was a, you know, crunch time clinic down the stretch the other night in Boston. So playing 11 to 12 guys, you know, not something we've seen every day. But it's working. 7-1 is 7-1, and we'll see what happens when D'Anthony Melton and Brandon Podziemski rejoin this rotation, expecting that to be pretty soon here.
There's always a pie chart whenever it comes to these things. I call it the pie chart of culpability. When a team loses, like, it's never one element. They've made personnel changes. Draymond seems to be changed in terms of his demeanor and his vibe. Obviously, Steve Kerr seems to have made a lot of adjustments to his staff, and it feels like he's on it. What do you think is the single biggest slice of why this team is different this year versus last year?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think it comes down to personnel. I mean, I think defensively last year, they didn't have the juice at the point of attack that you need, and now all of a sudden they're deep with wing and perimeter defenders, right? You go out and you added D'Anthony Melton, you get Kyle Anderson that can guard across multiple positions. You bring in Buddy Hield, who, you know, system, you get him in the right system, you get him around other good defenders, he's an impact team defender. And then, of course, you know, bringing Jerry Stackhouse on, what he's been able to do, freaking scheme, you're seeing a little bit more traps, trapping ball screens, double teams, so the scrambling on the back end, recovering, you know, contesting shooters, denying straight line drives, you know, forcing the ball out of the paint, trying to keep it to the sideline and the baseline and whatnot. You have, because you're deeper with perimeter defenders now you can do things differently from a scheme perspective. So they went out and I mean, this was, you know, intentional. This was by design. They wanted to get deeper with shooting and to get deeper with shooters that can also defend. I think we've seen some growth defensively from some of the younger players too. Brandon Podziemski, of course, led the league in charges last year. He's a physical defender. Moses Moody doing his thing on defense. I think we've seen, you know, some of the upside that Jonathan Kuminga has on that side of the ball at various junctures of the season. So, you know, championships are decided with perimeter defense. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Andrew Wiggins, but we knew what he could do. He showed that a few years ago, his pedigree for defending and what he brings to a playoff series. He was spectacular the other night against Jason Tatum. So the personnel on this team has allowed, more effective scheme defensively, and ultimately that's how Steve Kerr wants to play. That's how he's always wanted to play. The great Warrior teams of the past were deep with wing defenders. They were among the best defensive teams in the NBA. They were able to switch and to do all different things to muck up offenses in playoff situations, and they have the personnel to do some of those same things this year. We've already seen it through eight games.
Sam Gordon here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, and Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. You'll need your wing defenders tonight against those two jokers. They'll have to get 2 feet in the paint, settle for the mid-range jumper. They will not just settle for threes in Cleveland. But I got an inkling that GP2 might get to start tonight to kind of slow down Garland and Mitchell, because they are quick and they're going to need that point of attack defense here. But there's a lot of noise, Sam, about what the Warriors could be doing before the trade deadline, how they could be active. We heard Brian Windhorst yesterday discussing ESPN said the Warriors are a team to watch when it comes to being active. What's your hunch on this team here? Do you think this is a finished product in terms of the roster construction, or do you think Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob are out there looking to see what else is out there, maybe getting another playmaker, getting another ball handler? What is your gut tell you here, Sam, about this roster moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, you get the sense that Mike Dunleavy and Warriors brass are always keeping their eyes open, their ears open, you know, understanding what's available, what might be available. We know, you know, how aggressive they were and what they were canvassing in the summer in terms of, you know, Paul George and Lauri Markkanen and looking at different options there. And of course, you know, the LeBron James talks last year. So there's an understanding that Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob are willing to look around and see what's out there. At the same time, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? This team is playing really, really well right now. We understand it's a long season. Playoff basketball is a little different, but let's see how Jonathan Kuminga continues to develop. I mean, he's had some monster games off the bench. He's showing, you know, an ability. Obviously, we knew he could get to the rim, but being able to do that in late game situations, getting to the basket, creating offense, getting the defense to collapse, creating for others, that's what this team needs. Like you said, another ball handler, somebody else that can consistently get to the cup with dribble penetration and create shots for others. If they are canvassing the market, I would imagine that's going to be the kind of player it would be for. But right now, things are working. The ball is moving. You're getting balanced scoring from all over the place. When Brandon Podziemski's out there, he's another ball handler. We've seen what Kuminga can do, and the chemistry, the vibes, the mood, the atmosphere around this team is really, really good right now. So obviously, long way to go until the trade deadline. The schedule is doesn't do them any favors later in the month and early next month. So we'll have a really good gauge, I think, by the middle of December, what this team, you know, where this team is at, what this team is, and have a little bit more information from there. But yeah, you know, you always keep ears open and eyes open. I imagine that's what the Warriors brass is going to be continuing to do, despite this hot start. But you got to be careful about tweaking something that's working. They've been one of the best teams in the NBA so far. This thing is working right now.
Everywhere we go, it's like Buddy Hield, Buddy Hield, Buddy Hield, and I'm shocked at how good Buddy Hield has been. It doesn't feel like the team is that shocked. Are you shocked, and is it sustainable? Because he has been maybe the best bargain in the NBA at $9 million a year.
I don't know if shooting nearly, you know, 50% from three is quite sustainable, but the production, the energy, the shot making, that all is. And this just speaks to how important, you know, fit is, right? And Buddy Hield is a movement shooter. That's what he was coming out of college. And it's a lot different playing for Steve Kerr and playing in a read-and-react system where guys are looking for him to get his shots off. Guys are screening for him. He is, you know, clearly featured and a priority in this offense, as opposed to when you're standing off Joel Embiid and you know, waiting for shots in the corner and just kind of standing there, right? So the fact that he's been this productive, maybe didn't see this kind of production coming, but there was reason to believe with his track record, with his pedigree as a shooter, you know, 40% for his career, the volume that he makes, that I think, you know, him and Steph are, you know, top two, 3-point leaders in terms of makes the last several years. So there was reason to believe that he was going to be a good fit. And he stepped right in there for Klay Thompson and picked up exactly where he left off. And then some, giving you, you know, 20-plus points in 26, 27 minutes a game. So he's been extremely viable as a second scorer and playing with a lot of confidence right now. And, you know, not only from a basketball standpoint, from also from a personality standpoint, giving the Warriors a lot of energy in that locker room. He's already beloved and helping keep that chemistry intact. So he's playing fantastic and giving the Warriors everything they could have hoped for and then some.
No, there's no doubt about that. Wiggins has been solid. Kuminga, Looney off the bench as well, the GP2. So tonight will be a lot of fun, Sam. I know you're going to have a lot of fun. The Cleveland Cavaliers, the old friend Kenny Atkinson, the 9-0 Cavs, with Mitchell and Garland. They got Evan Mobley up front. And remember last season, they took it to the Warriors twice within 6 days. So I know the Warriors had this one circled on their calendar to get a little payback. Sam, enjoy the game out there in Cleveland, man. We always appreciate the time.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Thank you,
Sam. Sam Gordon, San Francisco Chronicle, here on the River Islands guest line, talking to some Dubs here. And, you know, Kuminga, I want to, before we get back to Buddy and what he's doing, and Draymond, I think, is keeping the turnovers down offensively. Steve Kerr's made it an emphasis. Hey, we cannot give away 5 to 6 possessions like we used to. One thing about JK, as I was watching the game back, remember Tim Roy, California Classic, like, hey, Bonte, man, this guy could be Ron Artest. He reminds me, he gives me flashes of Ron Artest. Well, I saw a little of that in Boston again.
On what side of the floor?
Defensively. His physicality against Jason Tatum and his ability to fight through screens. And that's how this is rookie year. There's a possession his rookie year against the LA Lakers. I'll never forget it. LeBron James is posting up Jonathan Kuminga. You go back and go watch this. It's rookie season. And LeBron James tries to fake him. Pump fakes like 3 to 4 different times. And as a rookie, JK, just a little flash, but he won that rep. stayed down, kept his feet down, didn't bite, great defensive possession. And you're like, man, this Joker could do that? Like, wow, he's a rookie. He's not going for that. And the instincts, you saw it right away there. Just hasn't put it together consistently. But Wednesday night against Jason Tatum, you saw the flashes, which is why, to Sam's point, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We need to chill off the trade talks for a second. This guy Kuminga provides something on his team that nobody else does in terms of going to the rack, finishing at the rack, dunking on your head, playing in the mid-post, mid-block, and then defensively being able to get out on Jason Tatum and be physical with him and not bite for anything. J.K. Quietly had a very solid night in Boston.
When I think about what made the Warriors so dynamic back in the day, their ability to throw a variety of body types on various 2s, 3s, and 4s was unlike anything out there. Like, obviously, you know, Pippen is like one of the greatest perimeter defenders of all time. But when you have the ability to throw not just one guy, like, hey, Pippen, you go guard that guy, take him out of the game. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. They at one point could throw Sean Livingston on mm-hmm. somebody, Iguodala, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and a variety of other random guys that they've had over the years. This team has Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga. I know Buddy's not the greatest, but Buddy's going to try, and he's actually longer than I thought. GP2 can guard these guys. I think Melton, when he returns, mm-hmm. you could throw a guy on there. At times, Draymond can guard some of the smaller people. Don't love that, but he can do it at times. And Moses Moody. That, to me, that's the beauty of what they've built this year. It's not just the offensive side with all the ball movement,
right.
but their ability to be able to guard a guy like Jason Tatum with 5 or 6 different kind of guys, and you're running waves at him. I think that's what's really unique.
No, it is very unique. And just focusing on JK for a second, because Wiggins is going to guard, and you have all these bodies, as you mentioned, that can switch on to these wings here. Tonight is going to be very important because Caris LeVert comes off the bench, and he killed the Warriors last year, Chase Center. Come off the bench, what, he scored 18, 20 or whatnot? Just his impact, just instant scoring. He's long, he's athletic. This guy, Caris LeVert's a good player off the bench for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but when you get Mitchell and Garland, two of the quicker guards in the NBA, and they formed this great backcourt together. They're starting to figure it out in Cleveland, Garland and Donovan Mitchell. J.K. coming off this bench alongside Andrew Wiggins. And I get the feeling that Gary Payton II is going to start tonight because you want to slow down Garland right away. You have maybe GP2 picking up Garland full court. You have Andrew Wiggins on Donovan Mitchell. You put Stephen Curry on Isaac Okoro. And, of course, you get Draymond and TJD on their bigs, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. I get the feeling that GP2 may get to start like he did on Monday just to have that burst of energy right away to say, all right, I'm picking this dude up 94 feet. We're setting a defensive tone. And then when you come off the bench, you bring in Jonathan Kuminga and say, okay, is it Mitchell? Is it Garland? Which one do you want? Or do you match up JK with Caris LeVert off that bench and match them up together to make sure you keep him out of the game? So looking at the game plan, you do have a lot of wing options here as defenders at the point of attack. And so it's important that JK keeps himself locked in, but also Wiggins playing well defensively, as you mentioned, all these different guys, and not to mention Slow-Mo, who will get an opportunity to guard Evan Mobley or one of their threes.
Yeah, Slow-Mo's a guy that I didn't even reference. You could throw him on a variety of different guys. Their multiplicity, as they've talked about for a long time, like optionality, remember they used to say mm-hmm. that a lot last year? Well, now, like, you're seeing kind of what they kind of envisioned multiple years ago play itself out. You beat Cleveland after beating Boston, that sends a message to the entire league.
No doubt. No doubt.
Dante, it's time for you to do the legal.
All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. In Cleveland, this is what they do so far this year, just watching their games back. They're not going to settle for threes, but they'll shoot to be above the break three all day long. They love those type of threes. In the half court, they'll go down, get 2 feet in the paint, get the mid-range game going. But above the break threes, they're number one in the NBA here. But their percentage of threes, like we saw Boston, 55% of their field goal attempts came from the three-point line. By far and away, the best in the NBA. They got to their 54 attempts last game against the Golden State Warriors. They averaged 51 attempts a game. Well, the Cavaliers are different. Just 41% of their field goal attempts come from the three-point line. That's 17th in the NBA. So they're a lot more balanced here. So you're not going to be able to just, hey, let's run them off the three-point line. They like the mid-range jumper. Donovan Mitchell loves the mid-range jumper. He has been living in the paint in the restricted area. Think of these numbers here as you watch the game tonight. Restricted area, Donovan Mitchell shooting 69%, 32 field goals in the restricted area. Non-restricted paint area, he shot 26 times, 46%. But the mid-range, so far in the mid-range, 18 of 36, 50%. So he's going to settle for twos. So you can't just try to run him off the three-point line and think it's all sweet. Oh, he'll take the 18-footer all day long. We saw it the other night in New Orleans. So a little different style that the Cavaliers play as opposed to the Celtics.
Who do you think is going to try to stay with Steph Curry in this one?
Oh, Isaac Okoro.
You think they're going to throw him on exclusively?
Yeah, he'll be on Steph to start the game.
See, no. I think you can exploit Donovan Mitchell and Garland in the half court. Their size, they're not – like Donovan, although very strong, is not the tallest, longest guy, and he will foul.
Yeah, no doubt. But you asked me, you know, who's going to start on Steph.
So if they're throwing Okoro on Steph, like, I think that there are other options out there that you can exploit. Yeah,
yeah, they'll get the switch. They're trying to make Donovan Mitchell work on a defensive end. But also, Evan Mobley has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, no, he's a very
taking
good
a leap. So that's Draymond Green written all over it. And so far on this road trip, they've taken out the stars. Jalen Green, 2 of 13. Jordan Poole, 2 of 9 from 3. Jason Tatum made him work for his 32. He had the one quarter with 17. Other than that, they made him work. Now you get Evan Mobley or Donovan Mitchell. Obviously, they're trying to take the head of the snake out of the game and Donovan Mitchell. But Evan Mobley's a guy that I think Draymond Green, when he looks at the end of the season, he says, I want to be DPOY again. Don't forget about Dre. I want to be on the All-NBA defensive first team. These are the games you bookmark if you're Draymond Green.
Mobley's so bouncy, and he's what I wanted Wiseman to look like.
Yep.
You know, I know Wiseman had more of the shot from the outside and had a little, you know, I would say just goofier length. Yeah. You know, he was just kind of a, I don't know, Stretch Armstrong type. Mobley's very nice, man. Very, very nice.
Nice.
I think this is just a great test to see the two best teams in the East in back-to-back games and just see where the Warriors stack up. You know, I don't want to hear excuses about being on the road and travel and all that. I just want to see them show up with their lunch pail and play another tight game against a really, really good team that I think is, they're not going to catch them by surprise.
Well, they're number one in offensive efficiency, the Cleveland Cavaliers. But
number one. Wow.
They're number one. Number one. The Warriors are third.
I would not have had them as number one in the league.
The Warriors are third. Wow. However, defensively, the Warriors are second, and the Cavaliers are ninth. So you can exploit some of their smaller guards here, Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, but it would be interesting to see how Kenny Atkinson plays this. 6'5", El Capcast Business. Sexy says, it a mistake to bench Moody? I'm just thinking about the matchups and trying to get a read on Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr will tweak a lineup no matter what. He's probably looking at Garland. It's no knock on Moses Moody whatsoever. It's about matchups. Garland Mitchell, smaller guards, quicker guards. I'm not sure if that's advantageous for Moses Moody. Now, he may start Moses Moody in a ride with it. But this also, we saw on Monday night against Jordan Poole, what does Steve Kerr want to do? I need to pick him up 94 feet with Gary Payton II and set a tone defensively, letting Jordan Poole know, I'm going to put the pest on you in GP2. I'm going to put your glove on you to make you work. Wouldn't you think that Steve Kerr may go to that route tonight against a smaller guard of Darius Garland? Said, you know what? I know I have Steph out here. I'm going to put Steph on Isaac Okoro. Instead of putting Moody on a smaller, quicker guard, maybe I'll shift him back to the bench and I start GP2. I'm just looking at the matchups and what Steve Kerr may do tonight. He may start GP2 on Garland tonight. He just may.
GP2 gives you just a variety of energy, hustle plays. You get to a lot of easy buckets, too, around the rim. I wouldn't be surprised, especially when you started as slow as you did in Boston. That might be the move. Is Pajemski going to be available tonight?
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know if he's going to be available tonight. I do not know. I think he was questionable, but he may not play.
I mean, then now you're short another ball handler. I know they had Lindy Waters playing a slight bit of point at one point, kind of bringing the ball up. I didn't have that on my Rolodex to start the season.
A lot of guys were bringing up the ball. So it's going to be a very interesting game. We'll get back to the Warriors in a little bit. But we're going to go to Dave Moore, color analyst in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, getting to the Niners and the Bucs. It's a huge game for the 49ers. We'll go behind enemy lines on the other side here on the Morning Roast. Plus, we got 60 seconds of celebrity. We pushed that back a little bit. Shameless shout-out, 745. Shameless shout-outs, 888-957-9570 is the number. We want to get into shameless shout-outs today. 888-957-9570. Start lining them up. Shout out whoever you want to shout out. Your dog, your cat, your son, your daughter, your nanny, your liquor store, your meat market, Costco. You can shout out whoever the hell you want to shout out. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll do that at 7:45. But first, we'll get to Dave Moore, color analyst of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's coming up, brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.